We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Dan McNeil, Danny Parkins.
Here we go!
Afternoons on the Score.
Question about somebody in the business, Hub.
Obviously, there's yo-yos everywhere, but I mean...
Your business, the print, the football scribes of America. Is Pete Prisco a yo-yo?
Pete's not... you mean as a guy or as an analyst?
Take your pick. Whichever way you want to take it.
I like Pete. I mean, I haven't talked to Pete in a while, but, you know, he's knowledgeable. He's not a bad guy. We all have some bad takes once in a while. I'm not sure if there's something specific you're referring to, but overall, I consider him a legit journalist.
Yo, yo, yo.
Yeah, he's under Danny's skin today.
This is what he wrote, Hub. Yeah. He's fighting against the straw man of all straw mans. He said, sometimes I think people in the media are rooting against an NFL season. I promise I am not one of them.
That sounds like quite a yo-yo.
That's pretty idiotic, really. Let's forget the fact that I think most of us really do love what we do. If there's no season, half of us are going to be out of work. My history with him has been that he's not often the author of those kind of things.
Okay, so not typically a yo-yo. Okay.
Well, I know half our audience thinks I'm a yo-yo, and sometimes I take that as a source of pride.
There was a lot of discussion on what his nickname should be. Before I could even give him options, he cut me off. He said yo-yo. So it's settled. His nickname is yo-yo. Yo-yo.
So, he's not a bad guy. I just think, I don't know where he's coming from with this one.
There's yo-yos everywhere.
Welcome back, yo-yo.
Yo!
Yo!
Saddle up! Lock and load!
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Thanks for hanging out, McNeil and Parkins, on The Score, where we try to pay more attention and show more enthusiasm to one another than Hub Arkish occasionally does to my questions.
Yeah, he can be dismissive. I don't think it's you. I think it's the content. I don't think you guys are as connective as maybe you'd like to be. Some of the topics you throw at him, he flags on. He can't hide it. He wears his emotion on his sleeve.
Hub, Caesar's Palace released NFL MVP odds. Have you had a chance to take a look at it?
I have not, Danny, no.
Okay. Any takeaways from the Bears' schedule that's just sitting with you all these days later?
Not really.
Here's the thing. I think Hub likes me, and I like Hub, and I love Tuesdays at 4 o'clock.
Right. You're right.
I think this is just Hub's, it's his demeanor. So I don't think it's personal. I enjoy running these theories past him. We basically agreed on Frank Gore. I might be convincing myself of this. We agreed on Pete Prisco. We disagreed on Aaron Rodgers. But that's the beauty of what we do. Spirited discussion. And if we disagree, none of it matters because it's just sports.
It is just sports. And that's why there's vanilla and that's why there's chocolate. And I have been enormously entertained. And by the way, you're right. It's Tuesdays at 4 with Hub. Today is Wednesday.
That's true.
8 or 10 minutes or so ago, I said it was Thursday. It's Wednesday. I don't know why I have Thursday in the brain. I'm not sure.
You're off on Thursday. You should know the days of the week on a week that you're off.
I know. Maybe it's just that it feels like the weekend is here because I'm heading west early tomorrow morning, so it just feels like a weekend. But no, it's Wednesday. And
what's the plan for the fishing trip?
I am going to northwestern Illinois to do a crappie and bass hunt with my buddy Three Putt Gene, longtime Score listener, a friend of mine for 25 years. We're going to target bass and crappies, and then I'm coming back home and going to pick up my boat Friday afternoon. We're going to fish a few hours there on Friday morning, and then I'm going to pick up my boat and go east. I probably will put 700 miles on my truck over the weekend and trailering the boat to and from. I'm going to sleep in my bed every night but one, but plan on doing a lot of fishing. Got to get out and angle a little bit and be responsible, too, with the social distancing. I will I'll sleep in my truck tomorrow night. I'm not going to sleep in my buddy's house out at the lake. I think that would give me comfort, and it probably would him too, even though we haven't discussed that. But yeah, sleep in my own bed the other nights and get a lot of fishing in. I'm ready to get out. I'm ready to spread my wings a little bit, man. It's springtime. It's the 13th of May, for crying out loud.
Good for you. Recharge. You need it. You've earned it. And go out and what should I say? Get good casts. I hope they're biting. What's a well wisher thing that
tight
I can
lines.
Say to a fisherman?
Tight lines is the best wishes to a fisherman. So yeah,
I wish you many tight lines.
That's not it, but A for effort. No, that's a rushing attempt though, right there.
So you just say tight lines?
Just tight lines.
Well,
yes.
Why wouldn't you want many of them? That sounds good,
right?
I agree with Danny on this one. Shocker, I know.
Yeah, wow.
I got a tight line. Good. There's another one. Oh, that's great.
Yeah. Like, I wish you many fairways and two putts. Like,
thank
that's
you.
That's good. You got
fairways are overrated. F fairways, man. Yeah, fairways. Do it the Walter Hagen way. Suffer. Hit it in the beach and then make a miraculous shot, and you still can make par if you make that one grab. I just love the way he approached the game and how nonchalant he was and how it didn't bother him if he didn't get off the tee well. He made jokes about it. Just go hit the next shot and do something amazing. Man, I've tried to adopt that attitude on the golf course, and I've had some surprisingly decent success at it. I haven't played this year yet, but when I do, I'm confident that I will take the Walter Hagen approach. Enjoy yourself and just enjoy the magic when it happens, because it will happen, and that'll be what brings you back.
It is what brings you back. I will say, when you're walking and carrying a bag, the occasional fairway is nice. Like when you can't just like go drive to your ball to find it, that's when trying to actually go the way of the course is a little underappreciated, because I was right rough to left rough to right rough, and it's just, man, okay, this 7,000 yard course or whatever, I probably walked 11,000 yards going all over looking for my ball on my way to a 102, but hoping to get back out again this weekend, and then I'll take a few days off next week heading into Memorial Day, and it's good. We need to get out and, as you say, change the backdrop a little bit. It's good to refresh for the mental health, but I will do the next two shows with Matt Spiegel, and then it's a big weekend, Mac. You know me, too many weeks of not working 6 days a week when I can't do You Better You Bet on radio.com, and The Final Word is gone for me on Sunday night. I don't know if you have heard this promo yet. In fact, I'm sure that you have, given how much you spent out listening to the station today. But Mitchie found me a job for this Sunday night.
Hey, what's up? Danny Parkins here, and if you're a fan of the 90s Bulls or just a fan of Chicago sports history, you've been watching ESPN's The Last Dance. Sunday night at 10, directly after the final episode, join me for a special Last Dance post-game show. I've been reliving my childhood through the eyes of an adult. I've absolutely loved it, even while pointing out this isn't a perfect documentation of history, but that's okay. It's been wildly entertaining. The Last Dance post-game show, Sunday night at 10, with me, Danny Parkins,
shut
right
up.
Here on Sports Radio
shut
670
up.
The Score,
shut
official
up. Shut
radio
up.
Over the
ball.
I heard that promo today driving back from the city. I had to run downtown, see a friend, and I hear the promo, and I'm like, my goodness, this boy, this man, he just cannot hear his own voice enough. 2 o'clock, you can't wait until 2 on Monday, huh?
Well, listen, you know what they say during a pandemic, Mac. Your audience is at its highest at Sunday night at 10 p.m., so I just felt like I should go in there and capture it. But no, Mitch asked, who am I to say no to our fearless leader, Mitch Rosen? He asked.
Maybe I'm alone here. I was pretty hyped up after watching The Last Dance on Sunday night. Like, it's hard to come down after that when they're so good. So I can see it. I'll be listening Sunday, I think.
You'll be mining it for mistakes and drops.
Yeah, well, yeah.
We know you'll be listening, Danny. I appreciate it. Feel free to call in.
What's Mitch throwing you for the extra work?
I didn't ask for anything.
He didn't offer something? It's not like him to ask and not offer something in return, you know, whether it's days off or dinner script somewhere nice, something like that.
He didn't offer. I didn't ask. Just
okay.
Just volunteering my time for the good of the station. And
part of being young Fots.
Yes, it sure is. Fotsy.
All right.
Face of the station. I'll take that 10 o'clock shift. We got to shake it at ESPN. I'll take people home. How many hours you doing?
I don't know. He told me 60, 90 minutes somewhere.
You'll
in
go
there.
2 hours.
So, yeah,
can you go as long
as
you want? You'll do 2 hours and then want to talk to Grobstein for an hour if he's in. Oh, you're not. You're not in. You're not in. No one's in.
Right. Well, that's the issue. I do these shows from my bedroom, so Steph's gonna have to sleep on the couch.
Oh no.
So. I mean, if I do it in the living room and then she's out here, then it's more likely to wake up the baby based on just like how the place is. So I don't know.
Actually, guys, Pritzker said today that the first step in rolling out things and getting back to normal is you and Grobber get to do transition together in person. So he's coming over to your spot. So congratulations.
Oh, that's
what people have been missing.
Yes.
Yes, we need a return. Parkins and Les together. Let's pretend it's an airport somewhere far, far away. And they are 9 hours of stranded. Yes, I know you are. That's nice of you to do that. Good job. Good job.
Well, yeah. Maybe if I'm being totally candid, we could have done this earlier in the documentary. Rolling out the post game show after the end is interesting. But I'm here for it, man. It's gonna be fun. I've got takes. I will be taking notes. I will be sober. I've pledged sobriety for the show. And you know, it's gonna be fun. So we'll take your calls.
Sobriety.
It's myself.
Hysterical.
I've pledged sobriety. Hey, man, it's Sunday. What do you know? Sunday during a pandemic.
Is that a big drinking day for you typically?
Well, just anything, you know.
Whatever. Anything?
Yeah, okay. I'm saying it. I'm going to keep my head level and clear and clean, and I'm going to be, you know, no drinking and no anything else. So it'll be good. It's a work day all of a sudden. You know me. Clean living. As soon as 6:01 happens, maybe something a little different. But before then, you gotta stay fresh for the late night audio. I gotta build a bridge to Les Grobstein. Okay, well, can't do that incapacitated.
Call me when you do 16 hours straight. Okay, like our guy in Philly.
Oh, this guy's my hero. I don't even know him. I want to get to know him.
Joe what? Giglio.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Joe.
He's doing. Some dude in Philly radio, they've concocted an idea for him to defend Gabe Kapler. I guess that's a thing in Philly. He's, like, hated by all Philly fans, and so it's just an easy punching bag. But this guy's, like, you were the last member of Wani's army. I guess he just loves himself some Gabe Kapler. And so they've created some programming back for him to do 16 hours straight on the single topic of defending the honor of Gabe Kapler and his time with the Phillies. So, I mean, I guess I have to have a meeting with Mitch of when I can do 18 hours on Derrick Rose to the Raptors.
Wow. Yeah, let me know when that happens. I'll make sure
produce?
I cancel everything. Yes, I'd absolutely want to produce. I'll get you a guest an hour. That would be 18 guests. That's a good gimmick. I like that during a pandemic. That's something that can get people excited. I don't know is there a fundraising element to this puppy, or is it just for radio station camaraderie and programming?
I'm not 100% sure, but I can assure you that I do have a 24-hour broadcast proposal in front of Mitch Rosen from well before all of this started. It hasn't been greenlit yet officially, but, you know, before my time is done at the score, Mac, I hope to do a 24-hour marathon one of these days.
When we get to 24 topics with which Hub has either disagreed disgustedly with you or just been not really on board with the conversation, you do an
dismissed.
Hour on each one. Yeah, you do 24 straight hours and do
on
an
the
hour
Hub-arkish
on
each dismissals.
Yes, an hour on each one, each of Hub's dismissals of you.
Okay. So an hour on Aaron Rodgers being the most talented quarterback I've ever seen.
Mike McCarthy being an idiot.
Yeah, now only an hour. An hour on Mike McCarthy being an idiot.
Why a football writer?
I could, but I don't really want to argue with you one way or the other. I don't think.
Boy, did that kid. I can't believe how that really
12 minutes on Max laugh.
Do you hate that laugh, Mac? Every time
you
play it?
Okay. No. It's funny that I laughed so hard that was genuine. I don't have a fake laugh. I did years ago. I punted it.
Oh, conscious decision to.
Yeah, and I exchanged.
What year was that?
02. Became the reply rather than fake laughing. Yeah, that's funny.
Wonder what could have possibly led you to that.
You know exactly what led me to that.
I know. That was what I was implying. But, yeah, so, all right. And then we're not that far away if we're doing the Hub special. NFL MVP, yep. Right? It's not that hard to come up with the 24 topics. We're going to talk to him every Tuesday. We'll have that by, like, week 7 of the football season.
Why somebody should care about the schedule when it comes out?
Oh, Bears.
There's an hour.
Yeah, but I don't even care about like picking the wins and losses. It's just when they give us the crumb, I'm going to eat it.
The Deshaun Watson, Ryan Pace, the fact there was no meeting when the Bears were going to draft a quarterback, met with Mahomes, met with Trubisky. Hub didn't bite on that story a year ago.
No, he didn't. And I've seen some members of the Bears beat. I didn't hear the whole podcast, but I think Fishbane's podcast over at The Athletic, where they were talking about, like, because the Deshaun Watson tweet brought it back up. And they're like, do people just want to make themselves mad? For me, yes. But for most people, I think it's about that he's still in charge and he hasn't offered up an explanation. Like, that's like the core of what it is to me. There's a real chance that Ryan Pace is going to get to draft the next quarterback of the future for the Bears. So, like, call me a stickler for the details. I'd like him to explain why he did not fully vet the last group of quarterbacks who could have been the future for the Bears. So, yeah, I'll be the last guy not letting that story die. And I don't think
an hour is enough. It's a fair enough question to be asking. I get a kick out of you using this as a rallying cry as passionately as you do. You clearly don't want to let go of it. And it is a question he should answer. I agree with you. It's germane. I mean, well, it's not so much now, but it's still, I would be interested to hear his response. We spent so much time talking about it. I'd like the closure of it.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And I'm sorry that you have been subject to so much discussion of it. But, is that on the list? Getting Ryan Pace to answer? We added to Derrick Rose's jersey to the Raptors or Rafters, the sign in Crown Point, town of home of Dan Plesac and the Plesac family, mm-hmm. bringing Yo-Yo back into conversation and getting me. Oh, we forgot to ask Bernstein about it. I want his Heisman vote. I want Bernstein to, like, when he retires from sports media, I want him to leave me his Heisman vote. I don't know if that's how it works.
Don't wait. You'll be waiting a long time. He's going to do this a long time, I have a feeling. Yeah, just, you know, I don't know. There probably is a process by which you could travel to figure out how you can get a vote if it means that much to you.
I mean, it doesn't. I don't want to like travel.
You would just rather make content, huh?
Yeah, I don't want to like go to Northwestern Purdue football games. And that
why would
horrible.
You have to start? There's guys who've never watched a Northwestern Purdue game who get a vote on the Heisman Trophy.
Well, that's kind of my point. It feels like they were just giving these things out all willy nilly, like a bunch of yo-yos, these knuckleheads, and there's too many shenanigans. And now I want to vote. I want to vote on something. Is basically my point. I'm not going to get a Hall of Fame vote, and I would settle for an All-Star Game MVP
Danny
vote.
Doesn't want like an email saying, oh, you know, congratulations, you're now a Heisman voter. He wants like Bo Jackson to come down and say, you know, stop everyone, there's been a wrong that we need to right here. Danny Parkins now has a Heisman vote.
Yes, I would like to. I would like to try to influence consensus over something trivial in sports, but actually be able to say that I have a vote that matters. Yes, I don't care what it is. The fact that you said you voted for Big Ten Coach of the Year in the 80s, that's cool. That's fine. Give me that.
Yeah, it was cool. I mean, when you're 26, I was 25 or 26 when I had the Big Ten job covering Big Ten football for a print operation. It was cool. I don't know if it would mean the same thing to me now. I've experienced a life. I've had kids.
It wouldn't mean a lot to me. I would be like, oh, my career is here. I'm one of 960 Heisman Trophy voters. I just think that these people don't put – they don't still watch games. There, I said it. The majority of them are just so disgruntled. They're like, I think it's cool to have a Hall of Fame vote. I think it's cool to have a Heisman Trophy vote. Like these things in sports should, if we're going to pretend like this cathedral of sports that we've built matters, then if these guys have contracts, you know, with incentives attached to it and all of that, guys who win the Heisman Trophy, that's six figures of income for memorabilia deals and licensing and all of that stuff.
Right.
Take some pride in it. I'm not saying that, like, whew, I put it up there. My wedding, birth of my son, my Heisman vote, like voting Christian McCaffrey where he should have been. Like, that's not what I'm saying. But it's I think I would do a good job with it.
Do you think anybody ever got laid for having a Heisman Trophy vote or a Hall of Fame vote? Anybody anywhere ever?
I mean, yeah. The South? Yeah. That's a pickup line in the South.
In the South.
That's a pickup line in the South. Right?
I've been to Tuscaloosa, maybe.
Yeah. That's maybe. A pickup line. But, like, I voted for Tua first place. Roll Tide. Okay. That's all I needed to
roll
hear.
Roll damn Tide.
You right? Have a vote? Ooh, let me cuddle up next to you. Yeah.
Yeah. But not north of the Mason-Dixon line, no.
Yeah. I'm hearing Steve Carell in 40-Year-Old Virgin talking about the yo-yo guy. Do me, you're the yo-yo guy. You're the guy who gets to vote on the Heisman Trophy. I want to be with you.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd add it to my Twitter bio, Mac. That's how far I'd go to say to earn it. That's right. That's how seriously I would take it. One of 900 plus Heisman Trophy voters. I'm telling you. I'm texting Bernstein as soon as we get to this break here, saying that I want his vote whenever he's ready to give it up. He doesn't care about college football. It's Mac and Parker.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
It's on the score.
De Niro has the personality of a doorknob, you know, so he's worthless.
Steven Sciarippa, Bobby Bacala from The Sopranos, was our guest for almost half an hour at 3 o'clock earlier today telling stories. If you're a Sopranos fan, got to circle back around and check that out. Bernstein is just sharing horrifying information with me via text in my quest to steal his Heisman vote or have him leave it to me whenever he retires from sports media.
I don't know anything about Abella Danger. I assume it's Danger and it's not like Danger.
Yeah, you don't know anything about college football either. That's why you put Pete Futek on every week to steal his ideas for your Heisman ballot. Bernstein says he has no idea how any of it works. He thinks Terry still has a Heisman vote even in retirement.
Hey, buddy!
That can't be true.
Sure it can.
What?
Yes. Niall Kinnock still has a vote. He won the first Heisman Trophy. No, he didn't win the first one. He was the first Iowa player, I think, to win one. Yeah, you keep those things forever. I'd be shocked that they don't rescind your vote, I don't think. They don't take it away
from you. When
you're
no longer a sports journalist?
When you're no longer lucid.
Well, so I Googled how to get a Heisman Trophy vote. And one of the responses is, there are three categories of eligible voters for the award winners. Sports journalists. Heisman.com states that sports journalists are to be determinants for the award since they are, quote, informed, competent, and impartial. There are 870 media voters, 145 voters from each of six regions. I have a problem with, like, every word in that sentence. They're not informed. They're not competent. They're not impartial. There are too many of them. And how can I not get one if there are 870 of them?
I'd love to fight with you, but I can't. I think it's absurd that there are as generous as they are with some of those votes. And if somebody who actually puts the time into it, and I don't know how you would go about proving that to somebody if it means that much to you, but I support your cause.
Thank you.
I think you should make this a campaign for 2020.
It's on the list.
Yes. Nothing else could possibly be alarming to you right now in any aspect of your life. Everything is solid. All you need to focus on is getting yourself a Heisman vote.
And futile gesture needs to be done on someone's part, and we are just the guys
to do it. We're the guys.
Yeah. That's what it is. It's not that there aren't more important things. In fact, everything is more important than me getting a Heisman vote. But sometimes focusing on the most trivial will allow it. And, like, I don't love what it says about me that Shep right now has a better chance of getting a Heisman Trophy vote than me, and I should be happy for him. But I'm not. He's got his Notre Dame podcast. He covers these games with credentials. I know. I want Shep to get a Heisman Trophy vote, but I want our show to have two.
If you get a Heisman Trophy vote before I do, that'll be my cue to go sell insurance.
See? This is what I'm talking about. A healthy level of competition within the mob.
State Farm agent Nick Shepkowski. Not getting a Heisman vote and finding a new career.
Shep, we should have two Heisman votes on this show.
I agree with you. If there's two people that have worked at this radio station that have ever deserved them, I think that these are probably the two best candidates. But apparently that's not the way things work.
Meanwhile,
that's right. Tanny's going to go get Rocket Ishmael his Heisman back from 1990 that Ty Detmer stole.
You're damn right.
Meanwhile, we got Teddy Greenstein, who's got a Hall of Fame vote and a Heisman vote. And Teddy G is on the record with the Baseball Hall of Fame is saying, it's my ballot. I'll fill it out how I want to.
Right. And it was about a character issue, right? It wasn't about a guy's playing career, I'm pretty sure, is what got us down that road.
Yeah, exactly. And then,
I don't remember which one, but.
And then for his, I don't remember either. There have been so many. And then for his Heisman vote, because they do it based on region, the reason they do it based on region is they want, you know, every region of the country to be represented, but they don't necessarily want you to be biased towards that region. It's just so you get experts who have seen all of the players, but he's biased towards the region. He's like, if it's an SEC guy or a Big Ten guy, I'll just give it to the Big Ten guy. So what? Give me a vote.
Well, you know what? Would Shep be biased toward Notre Dame players? Would that be his inclination to give a Fighting Irish player the benefit of the doubt and cast your vote in his direction, all things being equal? My bet is yes.
Shep?
Yeah. Well, you have to have somebody that's going to be a Heisman finalist in the first place. They get one about once every 10 years anymore, so not too much of a worry. Answered. There you go.
Yeah. Teddy G texting me saying false. That's how he does it for his third place vote. Okay, Teddy. Whatever you say. The 870 people. If we got to call Terry. Can you text Terry and see if he still has a Heisman Trophy vote? That guy hasn't watched a college football game in 10 years.
He didn't remember it.
Hey, buddy, this Johnny Manziel, buddy. He gets my vote, buddy, if you know what I mean.
It should be totally ridiculous. And then, Shep, I see your work in the McNeil and Parkins Twitter account about what 24 hours straight of me on the radio would look like. What would, you figure three segments an hour, what would segments 64 through 72 look like? The proposal I gave to Mitch, and we won't get into any of the details because it might not happen if ever and for a while, but it wasn't just like, I want 24 hours of airtime to fire off these takes. There would be a reason for it, maybe a charitable component to it. So it's not like for the last third of the show, that the first third is my Cubs thoughts, my middle third is the Bears thoughts, and the end is the Bulls thoughts. I have enough time to get those takes off. The idea would be to do something maybe a little bit different. I promise you, I don't want to just take everyone's show to further my own sports causes, unless it got me a Heisman vote, of course.
Yeah, do something absurd. Just an absolutely absurd piece of content that you're going to work for a full day.
Yeah, I got to come up with something. You know, get my name out there a little bit, Mac. There's not enough time.
Just give me something. These,
yeah, give me something. That's exactly right. Teddy G, this guy over here.
He is willing to get in his vehicle and come south to play golf. He's been coming to Indiana fairly frequently, and he and I might get together next week. I extended that invitation to you off the air today. It's a little bit more lenient here than it is across the border in Illinois, so I extend that to you sincerely, and I would hope that, you know, while I can't get, I'm going to go out and slap it around. I'm talking about playing golf. Regardless of the shoulders condition next week, I can move the ball 180, 190 yards 3 months after surgery. That'll be fine. I'll leave the driver in the bag and I won't hit 3-iron. I'll just slap 4-irons off the tee all day and just battle. That's what I enjoy doing anyway. But you're more than welcome to make the drive down here where you can actually get a cart.
I got no problem with that. I'm taking off next Thursday and Friday. Going to try to get a round in. Might have one with buddies already planned. We've been texting about it for weekday golf as they try to get out of their jobs at this point. But you and I will golf in Indiana in the next month. Let's put it that way as a very conservative estimate, if not sooner, with your shoulder and my schedule and all that. And hey, the drive doesn't bother me at all, and now there is no traffic. So
yeah, not much traffic. Although when you get to the suburbs, and I consider this a suburb, you'll find traffic because it's business as usual in the burbs. I was in the city today for a little while, and it is remarkably different in the city as opposed to being on the periphery of it. Almost everybody I saw on the street was wearing a mask. Now, people who were working were not, but I mean, just, it was completely different than what I'm used to looking at. Everything is shut down still. I mean, there is very little foot traffic in downtown Chicago. And Starbucks, where I was at, not open right now. A burger joint across the street, not even doing carry out today. But you come to the suburbs, and it's business as usual, Parkins. And not a lot of people even in stores right now wearing the masks, which is bothersome. They don't make it a recommendation in most stores, so it's up to the employees, and if they don't have a mask or can't get one, they're still going to work. It's crazily different here, and it's going to get even more different when I get out in the sticks in the next few days. I'm going to see people lined up at a lemonade stand like they don't ever get the news, you know, right behind the guy in front of them. No mask, nice long line for some fresh lemonade. That's I don't get that.
Yeah, I don't either, obviously. I respect that it's not the same everywhere. I do. I get it. Like, it's a big country. It's complicated. And we're still all figuring this out. But certainly in Chicago, where it's one of the worst in the country, it's maddening if you see people not respecting it. It's rarer here. For the most part, people are doing a good job, but that's because it's really serious here. So it's I've been to the burbs just a little bit, and you see it. And it's a good thing that it's not as bad everywhere. Obviously, that's a good thing.
But agree.
That doesn't mean that you can't be asymptomatic and pass it along and all that. We've gone over this 100 times, but yeah,
and we will again.
Yes,
we got 100 more to go.
on the Carlos Zambrano of Scorantine shows, yeah, we probably will recite that point. We'll put a bow on this thing before the great Joe Ostrowski at 6 o'clock on the Score.
Station.
Wicks pitch, broken bat, fly ball, shallow center, drifting in, Hayward, routine play, makes the catch. Early in the day, that would have been a sun issue, but now the sun issue is in right field, not center, and it's out number one.
Another shattered bat as Rome Wick comes in on the hands of Parra and just crushes his bat. Great pitch.
As you said that, I thought about Mick Jagger saying the word shattered in whatever song it was that he said.
It would be shattered. To live in this town, you must be tough, 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 tough. You've got rats on the west side, bed bugs uptown. Here's Nafy Perez. The Rolling Stones, Danny Parkins, their music, right now, only Stones music on Channel 26 on my Sirius XM subscription. I almost said prescription. It is when it's music for me. But I've been enjoying Zeppelin on Channel 27 all month, the entire month of May. Deep Tracks has moved to Led Zeppelin Radio, and right now, right next to it, it's Rolling Stones Radio, so I'm going to enjoy that with some of my highway miles ahead of me over the next 4 days. It's going to be fun, man, me and my rock gods.
That's great. You'll have your, you know, it's cool that they're doing that and giving all these bands and acts all the dedicated channels, and it's been cool to see. I know that everyone's listening, viewing, content-consuming habits are changed, and the content providers are changed too, but it's been cool to see the different swings that people have taken, whether it's, you know, Sirius opening up and making it not subscription, or concerts on television and relief events and all of that. Creative entertainers are sitting at home feeling like they want to creatively entertain, right? They don't know what else to do. And so is it perfect? No, far from it. But, you know, I watched Jerry Seinfeld on with Kimmel the other night to promote Seinfeld's new special that came out on Netflix. And Seinfeld got dressed up in a suit and tie, which is how he always performs. He like considers himself old school. But when he goes on the late night talk shows, he does the same thing because that was what it was for the big comics to come on Carson for the first time. And Kimmel was like, "You're at your house. You're in quarantine. Why the suit and tie?" He's like, "Jimmy, it's my first time on your show. It's a big deal. I don't care that we're doing it through video conferencing. I want to treat it like it's a big deal." So just a little thing, but I think it's been cool to see entertainers trying to do their best to put a smile on some people's face.
That is pretty cool. That's pretty good respect he's demonstrating for Kimmel, and you don't always see that. Yeah, and we've been fortunate on the show not to continue to pat ourselves on the back, but I think we set the bar pretty high early on during quarantine shows about getting some bigger celebrities on while there are no sports. And today was a case in point. Yesterday with Joe Mantegna, William Peterson, Mark Cuban. There have been a number of entertainment celebrities who seem like they want to come on. They have, Dan Patrick said that to us, not from another, he's a sports guy like we are, but he said he feels an obligation to be there right now when people are looking for the diversion. And it's been, we've had willing participants and a willing participant today, even willing to take a shot at Robert De Niro, even though he didn't finish.
De Niro yes. has the personality of a doorknob, you know, so he's worthless.
And he wasn't kidding.
No. No, he said he didn't want to get into it, then he got into it a little, and then he stopped again. Steve Sciarippa, Bobby Bacala from The Sopranos. Yeah, man, people are available, right? They're at home and they're not working. The movie lots are not open. You can't be filming. There's nothing being produced right now that you can't produce from your home. And so there's less to promote, and so there's less work, and so there's more time, and then people want to not disappoint because they know that it's hard out here. So it's been cool to see. And like I kept saying to Taney, he booked Steve Sciarippa. I was like, "Is there a time limit? I know he's been kind of hard to get and he's promoting this podcast." And he's like, "Nah, they haven't said anything." And he wasn't in a rush to get off at all. On for almost 30 minutes. Bob Odenkirk, 30 minutes. Joe Mantegna, almost 30 minutes. So Mark Cuban wanted to get off the phone. But Other than that,
Cubes was ready to go. There's no doubt. Yeah, and today he starts asking us what we thought. I thought he was ready to go, and then he starts asking us our opinion of The Last Dance. He decided he didn't want to go. He wanted to stay.
Dennis Rodman's birthday, shared a weird Rodman story in there, gave us thought that Jerry Krause was a creep. Sharippa is definitely at that don't give a bleep stage of his career, which I respect.
Quasimodo predicted all this.
That'll do it.
That's right. What's the goal for your tight lines over the next few days? How many fish are we angling?
I don't have a goal necessarily. I'm going to get comfortable with some new gear and fish for species I haven't targeted in many, many years. I'm going to fill the live well in my boat with some crappies. And I've not done that since I bought the boat 7 years ago, and I haven't crappie fished in probably 25-plus years. So also hoping to catch some nice big-ass largemouth bass and maybe a muskie when Van and I go muskie hunting on Sunday.
He's in two different fishing halls of fame.
Wow.
There's the goal, just to get in one fishing hall of fame.
Oh, let's add it to the list. Heisman votes, Dan Plesak assigned, Mac in a fishing hall of fame.
As an advocate for the activity.
Yeah, you're an ambassador.
I am an ambassador.
Like contributions to the game. That happens.
Uh-huh.
I had no problem. Let's add it to the list of causes for the McNeil and Parkin show. Ryan Pace to answer for Deshaun Watson not having dinner. Yo-Yo in the lexicon. A sign and crown point for Dan Plesak. Me with a Heisman vote. Derrick Rose's jersey retired. And Mac in a fishing hall of fame. That's a good list of causes for this show to nowhere.
Yeah, it may take us the rest of the year, but we'll get there.
That's right. Thank you to Steve Sharippa, who was on the show today. He played Bobby Bacala on The Sopranos. You might have heard of it. Check out
the Talk of Sopranos.
It's my hobby.
Why you got to belittle it?
That's right. We also had Hub Arkish on the show, who would never belittle a sports thought of ours. Thank you to Herb Lawrence, who's been helping out during all of the quarantine shows. We appreciate it. Nick Shepkowski is our executive producer. Chris Tannehill makes us sound better than we are each and every day. Mac, enjoy your vacation, my friend.
Thanks, dude. Talk Monday. Have fun with Speegs.
Thank you. Speegs is in tomorrow. Joe Ostrowski's coming up next. Yes, the great Joe Ostrowski. The great Joe Ostrowski is coming up next. It's true. McNeil and Parkins on The Score.
Thank you, Chicago, for your kindness, for your generosity, for your patience. Thank you for my life. Shine on, heal on, Maui Beach Boy on, David Axelrod, Sam Smith on. It's all of them. Here we go. It all rolls into one. Thanks for my life.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.